This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back, like the man said, not quite from the bowels of the building, but more like the cozy back corner of the Twin Peaks. I-10 in Kirkwood. It is Tyler Scott, Raheel Ramzanali, and myself, Joel Blank, as we fill in for the Blitz tonight, as we've shuffled the lineup on a Thursday while the Blitz and the boys are in Vegas. And we were football-centric in hour number one, along with a nice visit with Juan Adams for MMA fame. So that was cool. And we vowed that starting hour number two, we get a little hoops in to the mix because of the fact that the Rockets had their, what, eight-game winning streak snapped last night in the Mile High City. Pretty decent first half. Couldn't get it going in the second half. Again, it's still early, but your early signs and indications, you and I were talking off the air the last couple days in the office, but just early takes on what you see with this team.
I don't like it thus far.
Really?
Even with the winning streak, all of that, because it's the same formula that hasn't worked in the last two, three, 4 years, where it's the usage rate for James Harden, the percentage of the offense that James has on this team, it hasn't worked. Like, the usage eventually catches up. He's playing crazy minutes. He's taking an ungodly amount of shots, and that's fine. You're going to make him awesome, great. But that formula has shown that it does not work in the playoffs.
Right.
It hasn't, right?
Right?
James will get you as far as he can, and then when it comes time to face the elimination games, we know what happens. I thought Westbrook, you know, him being here is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a lot like 2017, where it's going to be a little bit more balanced. But even then, the usage rate was incredible for James Harden, right? At some point, you're going to have to start dialing it back a little bit so you do peak in the playoffs. You are a little bit fresher in the playoffs. Thus far, not even 20 games in, it's a lot of the same from before. So I'm not a fan of it. Those are good wins. But initial takeaways, that's where I am.
I said from the get-go I was going to wait and see how that was going to play out between the two guys because of the fact that both guys, like you said, have the ball in their hands way, way more than anybody else in the league. And to put them both on the same team, I was curious. To this point, if I'm Russell Westbrook, you're one hell of a team player and a soldier because of the fact that you've made all the concessions. You are adjusting your game. James Harden hasn't changed a thing. James is still shooting as much as he wants to, doing it whenever he wants to, making everybody else stand and watch when he wants to. And the fact of the matter is nothing's changed except for Russell Westbrook just trying to adapt to a system. And then you watch a game like the Celtics and the Clippers last night, or you watch a Laker game and know, because you can't miss them because they're on every night. But when you look at those two teams, you go, wow, the continuity is so much different. They're on another level in terms of the way they move the ball and how deep and talented their team is. I said on the air the other day, I really believe like it's going to come down to the X factor in this league right now is going to be who's your third best player. And your third best player is going to determine a lot in terms of how far your team goes this year. Mm-hmm. And the other X factors, I think, are Andre Iguodala and Chris Paul, because those two guys can alter the landscape in the rest of the league if they go to a competitor that's competing for a championship. But overall, when you look at the Rockets, I think the trade has made them relevant in a situation that otherwise, with Chris Paul and the way it ended last year, it wouldn't have been. But I'm with you in the fact that I've got to see more from the role players. I've got to see more continuity, more sharing of the basketball, more team elements on both sides of the ball, or I'm going to say that this team's going to make the playoffs and then do what they normally do.
You know, I'm a Russ stan. I love
Russ's game, too.
I love Russ Westbrook. I defended everything, you know, when the triple-double stuff was happening, and people were like, well, hey, okay, it's a triple-double, great. But James is putting up ungodly numbers. That's fine. I love Russell Westbrook. I love the energy he brings. The shooting has to improve for him. That's always been one thing. Like, the shooting has to improve. But what he does with the second unit now, that is something I do like.
Yeah.
Like, that second unit is workable. It's playable. You can stay in games. You're not going to get blown out because of the second unit. I love that. I love that factor of it. But you're right. You get, like, Eric Gordon's out still. We'll see what he looks like when he's fully healthy, because he wasn't healthy to start the season.
Right.
It didn't look right.
Is that what you're blaming it on?
I'm blaming it on health.
I think it's also a guy that is always, he gets the ass end of whenever they change the system or bring in a new player, like Carmelo, like Russ Westbrook, and now it's like, no, now you have to adapt to whatever
that's
we bring
point.
In.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't look at it that way. He has been adjusting a lot. But, I mean, he also has surgery, right? So, like, to clean up the knee stuff and all that. But I want to see. Let's see. Ben McLemore, I know we're going to pick on him a lot. Rockets fans are. That, come on, dude, you can't have shooting nights like last night and all this stuff. I, like, fundamentally, his shot looks okay.
No, he's a, it's yeah, a, like, it looks, he was it's compared a to shot. Ray Allen when yeah. he came out of Kansas. The fact that he's just never lived up to billing, but that doesn't mean that the form and yeah, the shot itself doesn't look fine. Clean, right?
Yeah, like, I'm good. Technically, it looks good. He'll be okay. But when you're relying on role players, you got to trust him a little bit more. You got to trust him a little bit. Have a balanced attack. Like
here's
the Lakers,
my thing,
like
too,
the Clippers.
Because 2 years ago, when we were talking about this team and winning 65 games and just setting the entire league on its ass because of the fact that you were just rolling and taking names as you went through the rest of the league, you had a team that could play defense. You had round pegs and round holes. Everywhere you looked, if you needed a shooter, you had one coming off the bench. If you needed defense, you had a lineup that could come in and suffocate the other team. We know last year it was square pegs and round holes and a lot of guys that didn't fit until the end of the season when it was probably a little too late. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm a little bit better with the roster, but the defense yet just didn't return. You got guys that fit more, like you mentioned, a McLemore, guys that can shoot the basketball. They brought back House. They, you know, they found some guys. Thabo Sefolosha, to me, is like, does he have anything left in the tank, and did you know that before you brought him back? Ryan Anderson at $500,000 would have made sense to me if he would have been playing like the old Ryan Anderson, at least making some shots when he's on the court. You know, that was just an early Christmas gift. They gave him $500,000 and said, go away. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing to me is they're not playing defense. I watched that Clipper team last night, and I know that when you've got two beasts on the defensive end like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you put a hustle guy and a rebound guy like Montrezl Harrell on the floor with them, and then you put a Pat Beverly out there who we know what he can do defensively, mm-hmm. you can make Lou Williams look like a stopper because the rest of those guys are so good, and that's a unit that's going to be tough to execute whatever offense you want to play in the playoffs.
Dude, the switchability of those three guys,
oh my God,
that's scary to think about.
Yep.
Especially, you know, you got James who they're not even going to double team him. We saw the Nuggets double team yesterday and make other guys make the decisions, whether it be shoot the ball or pass the ball. You're not going to see that with the Clippers. The Clippers are going straight up, and if you run any picks at them, you've got three guys that can switch on them and do a good job.
You've got two guys that basically have been James stoppers in the past all by themselves in PG-13 and Kawhi. Pat Beverly would love it because he didn't leave on good terms, and he was a little bit upset that James didn't go to bat for him a little bit more. So, yeah, you see all of that. Then you look at the Lakers team and go, well, and then on the flip side of that, you've got size and versatility when you've got Davis, and you've got Kuzma, and you've got LeBron, and you've got guys that can actually show versatility like you were talking about from a different perspective. They can play big, they can play small, and they can rebound the hell out of the basketball.
Yep.
And Danny Green and those guys make shots. Rondo's a coach on the floor. You go up and down the list, and you say, I'll tell you what, if Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, wow.
That's
or even Iguodala. If Iguodala ends up going to either one of those two teams and you get more versatile and more defensive capabilities, they're head and shoulders above everybody. And I'll say this. I wouldn't say this at the start of the year. Boston's a team that has impressed the hell out of me, too.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough of Boston, and we had this discussion this morning on the bench. If you want to hear me any other time, I'm on from 9 to 11 a.m. as well for the Blitzers who just love Fred and AJ. They're like, we can't stand Raheel. Give me a try on the morning.
There you go.
All right?
Yep.
But we talked about that. I haven't watched enough of Boston to put them up there, so I'll put them on this weekend and put, you know.
You got to watch them because I thought they would suffer without Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kemba has been a seamless transition.
Great.
The rest of the guys on the team, as we were talking about, they're happier because they're more involved.
Yeah.
They're not standing around watching, and you've seen it because now Jaylen Brown, and you look at the stats they showed him last night side by side, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are spitting images in every statistical category. And you go, if you thought Tatum was good, now Jaylen Brown's playing the same way, and you've got Kemba, and you've got a lot of young talent. I'll tell you what, Brad Stevens has that team playing good basketball, and they are going to be a team that's going to be reckoned with in the East, just like Milwaukee and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So that makes that fun. But there's some good teams out there, and I just don't think the Rockets are in that upper echelon. Maybe they can get there with a late move or a trade. But for now, as good as they have looked and their record looks, it's not as good as what I see as the best in the NBA.
Hell, the Celtics will get Gordon Hayward back in 3 weeks roughly as
thank
well.
Thank God that wasn't his shooting hand. It was his offhand.
So he was looking really good finally.
Yep.
The other team, obviously, last night, if you watched any highlights on anything, you've seen what Luka did. I've told you since last year, since now, like Luka.
Well, you and I are both on that bandwagon. Yep.
Absolutely love watching Luka.
You know, I said on the show, right, even before the Westbrook trade, when they still had Chris Paul, I said in 2 years after They had Luka and Porzingis. I said, the Mavs in 2 years will be better than the Rockets. They traded for Westbrook, and I had to kind of reevaluate a little bit. I'll stick with it. Boy, I'll tell you what, as long as you got those two guys to build around and you've got max money for another slot, Dallas, it's funny. We were talking that the national guys already are anointing LeBron the MVP. And you can't crap on the stats James has put up. But now this morning, they've moved James down another notch, and they've put Luka in as number two, or possibly 1A, 1B with LeBron. James gets crapped on by the national media, and part of it is because of the fact that as a gunner, as a high-volume shooter, and a guy that has the ball in his hands, the argument of the veterans and the all-stars and the analysts out there is, I could get out most of those points, too, if I got to shoot the ball that much.
Yeah, when you're shooting 40-plus times and you put it up 49 or you're taking more threes than ever in your career, yes, you're going to put up some ungodly scoring numbers. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he's still making a lot of shots. So, like,
right.
Props to him. But what Luka's doing right now, man, I haven't seen a 20-year-old play like this because usually the game still looks the same speed. It doesn't look like the same speed for Luka. Like, some of the passes that he's making.
Oh.
Yesterday, the nutmeg pass, did you see that one?
Yeah.
Through a double-team nutmeg. And I get it, you're playing a G League Warriors team. That's fine.
Right.
But some of the passes, the shot is effortless.
Here's the thing that you just mentioned that people forget because of the fact he was a high draft pick. He's only 20.
Yep.
He looks like he's older. He plays like a more mature player. At 20 years old, Rockets fans have a lot to worry about for the next 10 to 15 years while this guy continues to mature and get better. And they've got, I mean, again, keep Porzingis healthy. You got role players like Powell and some of the guys that they bring in. That's a pretty damn good Mavericks team that's going to get better.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson's a nice spark, man. Seth Curry's brother, Steph Curry.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Seth is doing some good stuff there. But Sunday, by the way, Mavericks Rockets.
That's big. Yeah,
I know you got Clippers first, and that's a great matchup too. That's
Friday
exciting.
Night. Yeah, tomorrow night from LA.
Sunday, Rockets Mavericks. I don't get excited for many regular season games. I'm excited. Like, I want to go watch Luka in person. I want to see how the Rockets are going to do it. It's probably going to be P.J. bodying him up. But I am pumped for that,
they
man.
Put P.J. Tucker on Luka Doncic.
Well, they did last year.
I know, but that's...
They body him up. Like, he
I think
gets
that's
physical.
A mistake. So if you want to talk some Rockets, they're lost to the Nuggets, as Raheel mentioned last night. The Clippers tomorrow night in L.A. in a late one. And then Sunday back here in H-Town against the Dallas Mavericks. We can talk some basketball with you as well, but we're here for you all the way till 7 o'clock. We'd love to talk whatever you got on your mind. Want to get off your chest? Give us a call, 713-780-3776. Text that number as well or hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on The Usual Suspects. Filling in for the Blitz, ESPN 97.5. I can't forget the day you left. Time is so unkind. And life is so cruel without you here beside me. Unbreak my heart. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick and Barry out. Raheel, Tyler, Aaron, and a cast of thousands in Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You heard the man. We are coming to you live from Twin Peaks, I-10, Kirkwood location. You're just getting out of work, looking for a place to watch the game. I tell you all the time, it's eats, drinks, and plenty of scenic views with the beautiful Twin Peaks girls as we get ready for Texans and Colts in a must-win, we have determined, on the Usual Suspects as Raheel and myself. And it's pretty obvious that's exactly what that is. Mito asking, are we getting the Jordan 4s coming out Saturday? I have a newborn. No, I will not.
The Jordan 4s, no. I'm not a big Jordan 4 guy. To me, the 1s are awesome, and I got the pair that I want, the Spider-Man ones, the white and reds. I am looking forward to the 11 breads. Those are the holy grail for me.
The, 11 what?
The black and red ones, the breads.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the Jordans, man.
They're also bringing out a black and red and white version, not the original Jordan 1s, It's Sterling Shepard of the Giants is the guy that's their poster boy for it. He's on social media and everything right now. And it's a more, it's a white base shoe with more black than red, with red trim, red laces. That's supposed to be coming out right on Black Friday. That's what it's because that's the theme pattern for Black Friday that's coming out. That looked pretty cool. The ones,
yeah, that was the year for 2019. It was all about the black and red. Next year, All Star Game in Chicago. By the way, I have sources down there. They're going all out with Jordan Brand. It's going to be nuts. So like, if you're a Jordan fan, you want to be at the All Star Game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be all the Chicago themed stuff. So it's going to be good.
Can't miss with that. Also, we were talking Rockets before the break, so Drew, patiently waiting on hold, wants to talk about Rockets. Drew, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to chime in.
Oh, your phone sucks.
He's playing good, without a doubt, and they look like one of the better teams in the NBA at this point, but, you know, I just wanted to say that Anthony Davis has never played a whole season. And Anthony Davis hasn't played a full season, and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, they haven't even averaged 20 minutes a game in the last 5 years. So I'm just kind of curious, how do you think that'll play long-term into their seeding?
Yeah, that's
thanks for the call, Drew. Yeah, appreciate it.
That is the big thing, is health with that team, because they are
with all
older
the top
guys,
teams, though, right? I mean, here's the thing. You got P.J. Tucker guarding Brook Lopez, and it cost you the Milwaukee game. And after the game, they asked D'Antoni, did he ever think about putting Clint Capela on him? And he says no. And then Drew references having JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. It's a luxury because you have Kuzma and AD that you can start at the 5 and the 4 and LeBron at the 3, and you can go big whenever you want with having to go too big and need those kind of guys. But the fact that Dwight Howard, believe it or not, and if you haven't looked at the stats, then you're missing something, is one of the most productive guys in the league this year per minutes on the floor, because he's not trying to do too much anymore. He's not worried about his touches and getting the ball. He's worried about blocking shots and rebounding, which he should have been doing all along. Mm-hmm. JaVale McGee the same way. Hey, he likes winning a lot more than he liked losing when he was in Washington in a lot of piss-poor situations. So what he's doing is going, I'm happy to be here. If you want me to run an alley-oop play every now and then, but just rebound, defend, and block some shots, I'm here for you. Perfect compliments. Again, we talk about when Daryl Morey puts rosters together, the Lakers, who did a horrible job last year of doing what Daryl's done in the last couple of years and put square pegs in round holes and a bunch of misfits, but they were just trying to pass time last year. The fact that now a Danny Green, an isolation shooter, that's perfect when you have guys that command double teams. When I mention all the versatility with Kuzma added to AD, Howard and all your bigs.
Avery Bradley
to be what he's always been, a defender and a point guard. They have, and you can go to the Clippers and do the same thing. They have role players that are perfect for their roles, complementing the best players. That's why they're the two best teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so that's what the Rockets need to do. Sure, they've got a good nucleus, but they have to make tweaks and they have to improve specifically defensively and maybe with another shooter. Because look, bottom line is, you know how many shots that Westbrook and Harden are going to take, but when they don't, the guys that touch the ball, I get the fact they love the D'Antoni system, they have the green light, but part of having the green light is you're supposed to be able to make more than you miss, or at least make a good percentage. Austin Rivers, I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go up and down the line. Daniel House, I'm talking to you. I mean, you said yourself, Ben McLemore, look good as a great, easy former lottery pick to bring in to help complement this team, can't make a shot. It's got a 25-letter alphabet. There's no three-point J in it. So I'm looking for help that Daryl hasn't put on the table for the two best players on the team.
Yep. Can I get your opinion on another basketball story real
quickly?
Absolutely,
yeah.
It's more lighthearted.
Okay.
Charles Barkley.
Man.
What is Charles doing? Charles, I love Charles. And by the way, props to Turner Sports. They didn't give in to cancel culture. They're like, Barkley's working tonight, guys. For those of you that don't know Charles Barkley.
Yeah, tell a story.
Yeah, so what happened was the other night, on Wednesday night,
The Democratic debate is at Tyler Perry's new studio in Atlanta, so Charles was in the city and able to go, and he's very big into politics.
Yeah, and he was there supporting a candidate, and there's another candidate that he's also familiar with, and a reporter there, Alexi McCammon.
McCammon, yep.
She went up to Charles and was like, what are you doing here? You've you said you like this other candidate. You know, and he just said, as a joke, allegedly, which you have some background on this.
Yeah.
He said, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you. That joke fell flat. McCammy, goes on Twitter and says, by the way, guys, this is what Charles said about, you know, this is what he told me. And, of course, it just snowballed into
now, I got a couple
happens.
Issues, okay? Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, what happened was he was speaking, he was in the crowd, he was off work, and one of the candidates' people came up, I think it was Duvall, and he said, I'm a big fan. I like a lot of what he's doing. And then Buttigieg people came up after that, and he said, I like a lot of what he's doing. And that's when this member of the media decides to chime in and go, well, that's funny. You just said you liked a different candidate. Now you're liking this candidate. What are you doing? Now, you're throwing that in his face. You're challenging him. And, oh, by the way, she admits everything that was said was off the record. She just felt like because he said that it was worth putting on the record, tweeting about it, getting all the attention for it, and making everybody react to it. And then you had people jumping on saying Charles has always been a racist, and Charles has been this, and Charles has been that. I'm sorry, I know the man personally. I've seen what he's done for every race and color and anybody that has found hard times and otherwise, and I know what kind of man he is, and I know what kind of person he is, and I know he's not a racist. But I also know, because I've heard that line so many times, I don't care to count it anymore, but we heard it at a different time in society.
Yeah.
So obviously, he's wrong for trying to pull that card out one more time in today's game, right? But you also got to be careful what you do. When you're trying to get some run out of it, you want your 15 seconds of fame, you're hoping this elevates you to another level in your career. Because, as we've always said, Twitter is forever. You may think it's for 15 seconds and you took something down, but by the time you thought enough after pressing send that you thought, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I take it back. Somebody screen captured it and someone's using it against you. Well, our girl Alexi got caught.
Yep. Never go viral. That's the advice I give to everybody. Never go viral, because there's going to be haters out there. There's going to be people trying to discredit you, right or wrong. And they start searching stuff, and they found stuff on her.
Lexi, who I believe is a woman of color, but dropping N-bombs, dropping racial slurs and offensive comments to people of Asian descent. The tweets are there. The people found them. They came back at her. They put them out there front and center. And remarkably, a woman that was so chatty with every comment that came her way when the initial comment was made to her by Charles has now gone radio silent on social media.
Yep.
So, and like you said, and TNT was also up in front of this thing. Charles did apologize. TNT issued the statement to say that he was apologetic and he should have thought more about it, even though he was joking. So we'll see how it all plays out from here. But
I love that they didn't cancel him and stuff. They're like, you know who Charles is, right? There's a whole campaign around him. When he was playing that, he's not a role model, guys. We know what we signed. We know.
And oh, by the way, they pay him to be controversial, if you haven't noticed. And this is just it's not exactly the kind of controversy that people are used to. But guess what? That's who Charles is. All right, so we'll continue to roll on as we get through hour number two of the three-hour show, back to the halfway point. So still 90 minutes to go on the clock. When we come back, you can join us if you'd like, 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, in for the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, filling in for the Blitz. It's Raheel, Tyler, and Joel from Twin Peaks, I-10 Kirkwood. Stop by, say hi, see the pretty Twin Peaks girls. Eat, drink, scenic views, and of course, Texans Colts coming on a little after 7 o'clock. We'll get some more football as we did in the first hour for you leading up to that game, but we've also talked basketball and other things as we continue to roll on. Looking at some of the texts, I know why Raheel doesn't check them and Barry does ours on a regular basis. Because some of you guys are just complete, well, you know what. Yeah. Some people trying to criticize what I said about Charles and the reporter. Let me just tell you something. And if you watch and follow politics as well, this was also done the other day when one of the congressmen decided to say something was off record while he didn't realize it was being filmed on live TV. If you say something's off record and you're not aware of your surroundings and don't know that it's a live, that's on you. But I can't tell you how many times in sports, in business, in politics, when the media is around, if you say off the record, it is as respected and as honored as anything else because of the fact that they give you so much during the course of the year that you will lose someone for the rest of your career. And it's not worth that because for all the stuff that you have to bite your tongue on, you get so many more morsels that get so many more followers and readers. So just slow your roll, text message. That's why I've got a little insight on this one. And I think you saw it the same way.
Yeah, it's off the record. But you know what? For me now, off the record doesn't exist. Like, if you are in a position of power, nothing is off the record anymore. I love this dad here. He brought his son to
that's
Twin Peaks.
That's P. Randizzle. That's not just any dad. Oh, that's a suspect, brother.
Man, that's a great dad.
That's the Dizzles.
What's up, Dizzles?
Live and in color. Dr. Dre says hi, by the way. I will say he was one of 13 he wanted to say shout out hi to. You're here. I'll give you that.
Look at that. So that's a smile you can't buy. That his son is like, there's no toy you can buy me. There's nothing. There's no game you can buy me.
Well, he changed it because when you first started saying that, he looked like he was going to drop some gas on you, like he was constantly. Because he's like, I don't know what you were talking about. But then when he realized it was good, then he gave you the full smile with the missing grill pieces.
I love it.
That's solid right there. So that's a little bit from the text message, a little bit more than probably anybody needed. But we'll continue to roll on. Someone had a great comment when we were talking about Luka Doncic earlier. Joe Buck wants to know when Luka Doncic turns 21. Because you know how many times we had to hear how old my man in left field for the
Juan Soto.
Soto, it was.
Soto, how old is he again? I forgot.
The kid's only 20. He's fantastic. He gets in the box, and he's 20 years and two more minutes.
He loved that age. He loved it. Joe Buck loved it. I got some Pro Bowl results for you.
So
the first wave of Pro Bowl votes have been released. Mm-hmm. And it's more about a popularity contest. It's more of a paradigm shift in the NFL. The biggest story of the NFL season thus far, in your opinion, what is it?
Lamar Jackson,
right? And rightfully so. What
sure.
The Ravens did, passing up on him three times in the draft and then starting Flacco and then had no other choice but to eventually let him play because Flacco was so bad and then they built the offense around him.
Yep.
And they bring in Greg Roman, which was the biggest move. Like, bringing in Greg
Smart
Roman,
move.
Teaming up those two, and they have been outstanding this
going
year.
Going against the grain of West Coast offense and everything else. And they, like you said, they were the one team that not only wanted to take a chance on the kid, but they constructed an entire offense around him instead of making him play an offense that they carried with them from another job.
Yeah, so he is the number one vote getter for the Pro Bowl. Now, the Pro Bowl doesn't matter. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. If you watch the Pro Bowl, I judge you.
Oh
I think
God,
you're an idiot.
I hope you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're watching the Pro Bowl, then you wouldn't survive in the caveman days because you got so many great things to do. You got so many other options, and yet you're going to watch the Pro Bowl? That's bad decision making on your part, and thus a mammoth would have probably killed you or something, right?
Sure.
So I judge people that watch the Pro Bowl, but it is a good measure of the popularity of certain players. I do love that. Getting a lot of smiles here at Twin Peaks. I love it. You do get to measure the actual popularity of these guys, right? Because it is fan voting. It is based on what's hot right now. Lamar Jackson, number one.
Yeah.
By a landslide.
Okay.
146,000 votes for him. Patrick Mahomes, number two. Fans love Mahomes.
But he's been hurt. So if you want to make an accurate selection.
This is just more popularity content,
sure, exactly right?
Look at that.
Yep.
Right? Russell Wilson, number three, 115,000. Dalvin Cook. 106,000. He's in fourth place. And then Christian McCaffrey, 100,000. Which, by the way, today was announced he had the perfect 99 Madden rating.
Well,
that's crazy.
He's damn good. But I said this to Barry, and he looked at me cross-eyed. Then he looked at the numbers because he's a numbers guy. When I said Dalvin Cook's the best running back in football, and when he started looking at the numbers and the receptions and the yards and all the different things that factor in, Dalvin Cook's the best running back in football.
Yes.
So I think from that standpoint, you got the two leading MVP candidates when you've got Russell Wilson and you've got Jackson, and you've got the two other guys and the two best running backs in football, and that would be McCaffrey and Cook. So, you know, four out of five ain't bad. Look, Patrick Mahomes, MVP last year. Popularity, you're right. I get that. So
nothing for Deshaun. He didn't make the top five. Look, Tom Brady's not having the statistical season. He's not as popular, it seems like, because all these young quarterbacks, the way they play the flair, it's, you know, it's just a paradigm shift in the NFL more than anything, where the popularity is going. And it's not receivers
either. If
you want
legit best in the football at a position, then you skip the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
And you look for the all-pro teams.
Absolutely.
Because the all-pro teams are the guys that statistically for that year are the best in the business.
Yeah.
And that's how you go for that. But, yeah, you're definitely right. It's the all-star game for the NBA or the Major League Baseball all-star game with who can be the most popular vote-getter in each sport. So, you know, I think it's a little surprising to me Deshaun didn't have more. Because unless they just voted in the last, you know, 4 or 5 days, aside from Sunday – he was up there in the MVP discussions, too. So I'm a little shocked by that, if nothing else.
Okay, I'm going to give you some stats, and you tell me if this is a good season,
okay
for a receiver.
Okay.
All right, this receiver has 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Okay.
46 receptions. Is that a good season?
So we're a little bit more. Yeah, it's pretty darn good. We're a little bit more than halfway through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the numbers for T.Y. Hilton at NRG. That's what he puts up every time he plays in Houston. He's put up, in the games that he's played, 8 career games, 46 receptions, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Dude has to have a steel bulletproof cup every time he comes to NRG to try and hide the excitement he has for what he's about to experience, which is almost orgasmic for several hours on the field at NRG. He just absolutely annihilates anybody in red, white, and blue in front of him.
It doesn't matter who it is either. Okay, I'm curious. One day Jalen Ramsey is going to be a Texan, right? One day, because of the love fest that they all have, and he's going to sign here as a free agent because they have no picks left.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to do the Jonathan Joseph thing. They're going to wait till he's a little bit over the hill. They're going to overpay him, then they're going to keep him around forever.
Even
so I could see that.
Lock down Jalen Ramsey on one side. Lock down Marcus Peters on the other side. So you can move him anywhere, but there's two shutdown corners, right?
Is Marcus Peters shut down anymore?
I'm saying, just for an example, you put him there, right?
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton's still going to put up 130 yards.
Man, that dude.
It doesn't matter who's there.
That dude is one of the most underrated, if it's possible, underrated receivers in football for the yards he puts up. But when everybody talks about the best receivers in football, he's not amongst the top four or five. It's Hopkins. It was Antonio Brown. It's Julio Jones.
Yep.
You know, you go up and down the list, and he is so overlooked. But if you're a Texans fan, you can't. As much as you try, you can't forget how good he is and how good he has been against his number one divisional opponent.
He's every single time he's killed you. There's just no denial. Like, he just owns you.
And the funny stat to me is the Jacoby Brissett thing, because you realize that Luck has been the guy since Manning left.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could understand his success rate. But the fact that Brissett filling in early and now taking the full-time role is 4-0. Against the Texans is a bit surprising to me that he's had that much success that quickly against the Texans franchise. But that's a stat that I was a little bit astonished by when I saw.
Yeah, and a playoff win over.
Dominated
in the playoffs,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah, so that's interesting.
Not for Jacoby, though, because that was a luck game.
No,
I'm
right.
just saying, with Jacoby
the team
and
itself,
the Colts,
though,
they just own you. That
but
playoff
he doesn't get credit for that win, though.
No. But I'm saying, like, the playoff win, what they did came into your house after 3 weeks of dominating you, and again, just walking right back in, same game plan, just got you.
Yeah.
Langston, we got you.
And what does that tell you about the game plan on the other side, if they use the same game plan and it worked twice?
If there's only a common denominator there. Mm. Oh, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, Bob. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter as we'll roll all the way till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's not the Blitz, it's The Usual Suspects. It's not the entire Usual Suspects. It's Joel, it's Raheel. It is Tyler Scott on premise, I-10 Kirkwood, Twin Peaks, along with a cast of thousands, including P. Randizzle and his son, and our man Aaron Rabel back in the studio. But we are filling in for the Blitz one time this, what, I'm not going to say one time only, because it could happen again. But we're being team players, and we'll be back during the regular schedule. You'll be in the mornings. I'll be in our regular slot tomorrow. But having some fun doing this. You and I like to do this when we get a chance.
Yeah, because we get to talk more hoops. We just get to hang out, and it's a different time slot, so we get more people listening that haven't heard us.
Yep,
right.
Yep. A lot of people with a lot of love, and a lot of a-holes that are a few a-holes that decide to slide through the cracks. What they don't realize is once you're blocked on one show, you're blocked on all shows. So 713 ending in 4127, you can kiss all of my ass as you go and try and find something else to do with your social media and computer time.
See?
Or phone calls. Bye-bye.
That's why I don't even check that line. Because there are a lot of nice listeners. But there's always one a-hole in everything, right? And it just ruins the whole day. So I'm just like, you're going to be an a-hole to me. I have one rule. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. That's it. If you follow me, I don't mind the hate. But
Barry
if you don't
does that, Barry's
yeah.
like he'll only,
me, I don't
but
care.
He always sets it up so that he only gets comments from people that follow him. So then he doesn't have to get all the other just random.
Yeah, you can do the filters.
Yeah.
I don't care about. Yeah, like I just if you're gonna send some hate my way, the least you can do is just hit the follow button. That's it. Because I'm kind of shallow like that. I want to up that.
And what is that reflective on? It's reflective on you. You're still listening anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're going to listen, then don't be angry. I'm sorry your day hasn't gone really well. But if you want to blame me and blame us, well, fine. Okay. Hope today's tomorrow's a better day. So go ahead.
I got a little story here for you.
All right.
3/4 of American men say they feel more confident with facial hair.
You know, I saw that story and I thought of you because of the fact that you are almost through Movember.
Yes.
And you're rolling through. Someone said on the text line, you look like Marcus Mariota with the
stash.
That's a good one. Pretty good comparison right there. So, you know what? And you know me long enough to remember when I used to do the goatee and the light facial hair. And then when I decided to get some chin music in another color, I decided to stay away from it. But I might go back to it. But, okay. I mean, do you feel more confident when you have the porn stash?
Not the first 2 weeks, I did not feel confident. Like, it was rough. But now it's starting to, it looks more normal to me. Cause
It doesn't look normal to us, by the way.
No, I know.
We see
it
you in the hallway
no
and otherwise.
And trust me, like, when I take my daughter to the park, I have to keep her close by because I don't want people to be like, what's this creepy dude doing here at the park? I don't want that heat on me. Even at the gym, when I got the stubble beard, my little sexy stubble going.
Okay.
I'll get some looks every once in a while at the gym, all right, for men and women, whatever. I'm cool. Now, nothing. The gym looks have dried out, Joel. Nothing. I get nothing.
If there's anybody that should comment on all of this, it would be one Tyler Scott. Because Tyler Scott went from Ryan Fitzpatrick lumberjack-type facial hair to absolutely bare baby's ass clean-shaven. Did you feel more confident with a beard, Tyler?
I guess. Yeah, I don't really notice like a dip in confidence now that I don't have a beard.
Like initially, you felt naked when you shaved it off, right?
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to get used to.
For us as well, because we walked in and we're like, when did we hire a kid in Tyler's desk?
Yeah. It's annoying. I still get people who are like, where's the beard? And I haven't had the beard in, what, a year almost?
Has it been a year?
Yeah, since January. So I'd shaved the big beard probably in January-ish.
Yeah, what about clean shaven, though?
Clean shaven was like, okay, yeah, March or May.
Oh,
one
wow.
One of those,
March or May?
Yeah, I can't remember.
You had to have it for March because you need it for St. Paddy's Day when you fill in for, like, the leprechaun, right?
Bodied. Here's another little stat from this survey. 1 in 5 men would give up sex for a full year to get the perfect beard. You guys giving up the...
I would do that.
I would not be one.
I did do that whenever I was growing mine.
Nice.
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Women don't like the beard.
No.
The nasty one?
No. They loved it.
They loved it?
Yeah.
Okay. They can hold on to it?
They loved it and they actually kissed you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like try to fight through the bushes just to get to the berries. I don't know. Seems like it's a bit much to try with all that facial hair to get through. You get food stuck in it?
At times, yeah. Mainly drinks.
I know Lisa hates
I had to drink through
hair.
A straw.
Yeah.
She just does. She just, no matter what. Like, I'll go the whole weekend without shaving, and she's like, you going to shave that soon?
Yeah, my wife is the opposite. She's
she likes
like,
it?
She hates it when I'm clean shaven.
Really?
Because I look like I'm 14 then.
Okay.
And then she looks like, you know, like, what are you doing with this 14-year-old woman? Come on, you could be doing better. Woman, you got a 14-year-old.
Then you see the kid and be like, oh, I yeah. see what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So, I hate it when I'm clean shaven. Unless
really?
I'm using my Manscaped for something else.
Yeah,
don't forget, promo code ESPN975.
Nice. Manscaped.com. Way to work that in. Well
but,
done.
But, yeah, I need that stubble. I have to have stubble.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks worth of growth, that's where it's at. But I'm not giving up action for a perfect beard. Like, let's not get carried away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit much.
Who are these
said,
men?
What is it, one out of five?
One out of
I'm
five.
I'm definitely not the one. Yeah, no, that's a little bit too much of a sacrifice for me.
No, I'm good on that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, not going to do that. So I'll skip that one as well. Again, we're filling in for the Blitz, taking you up until 7 as we get ready for the Texans and the Colts. So far, we've gotten everybody else's opinion. But we asked Sarah Barshop, if you missed it, go back and catch the podcast, ESPN beat writer for the Texans. And she thought the Texans would win by a field goal tonight. How, in your estimation, do you see this one playing out?
I think the Texans do end up winning this game, but it's going to be a lot closer. And it's not going to be a game-winning field goal, but I do like that number of three. I do like them winning by three, and I think it's just going to be the Colts come up a little short at the end there.
Okay.
And that's it. I don't trust either kicker right now.
There's a lot of interesting things, right? Because, like we mentioned, T.Y. Hilton comes back, and the Texas secondary is depleted. Mm-hmm. But you get a guy in Vernon Hargraves that has been a starter all year in the NFL. So it's a lot better than just your average street pickup. He said he was looking for a clean start, fresh start, new environment. It'd be a hell of a story if he was able to do something tonight because they have kind of on the fly tried to recreate their secondary. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But at the same time, then on the flip side, can Deshaun and the offense bounce back from just a putrid performance against the Ravens and do what they need to do? They've had some of their stinkers at home, but they found a way to persevere and win. So I'm kind of with you guys. I see it being a close game. I obviously think the two factors for me are turnovers and who runs the ball better. Because when the Texans have balance and they get Hyde and Johnson to get them yards, it just there's such a night and day better team. And with Mac out, I'm interested to see what the Texans can do and if they don't try to load the box a little bit more and say, hey, we dare you to beat us in the air with Jacoby Brissett. However, that's when the secondary becomes a factor. So I could see it being a close game. I think Texans win too, but I think it's definitely going to be close. And again, like you said, if it comes down to field goals, whoever misses less might be the one that comes out with more.
Or hell, whoever misses less extra points also.
Right.
Like it's been that bad for both of these kickers. Here's something that's happening on Twitter for those of you that are driving home right now.
Okay.
The Texans linebackers decided to play dress-up, and they wore costumes to the game. Mortal Kombat vibes. That's what it is. You'll see it everywhere on Twitter if you are driving around or if you're on social media. You'll find it. But I guess it's turned into a pregame
costume. Is
this
kind of the response from T.Y. wearing the clown mask the last time he came to NRG? Because Halloween was in October.
Yeah, I don't know why they would wear that. I don't know what I'm missing. So if you know it, let us know on the text line or on Twitter or call in. I'm confused why they dressed up as Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah, I'm a little perplexed by it myself. But we've got some time to figure it out as it's getting to be about that time. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. We'll take you all the way till 7 as we fill in for the Blitz. It's the usual suspects with Raheel for Barry right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,